humanity by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace and in one body to reconcile both them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Chapter 3. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ with our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity to be built up in your truth. Open our hearts. Help us to understand your love and mercy to us, Father. Help us to grow closer to you and to walk in discipleship. We pray especially for Seth, Lord. Give him your Holy Spirit to help us to understand your love and mercy to us in Christ. Thank you, Father, that you demonstrate your love for us in the fact that Christ has died on the cross when we were still sinners. Thank you for your love and mercy, Father. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
There certainly is a lot in that scripture passage. Not only is there a lot of text, but there's also a lot of meat. You can probably turn off this one. The title of my sermon today is Lost, Found, Heaven Bound. Because as I was reflecting over the scripture, this is the main elements that came to me. And we're going to go through these together today. But first, I have a question. I'm wondering if we can be honest for a minute. It seems to me that if you talk to people about their relationship with God, that often we encounter the word but. I know God loves me, but. Or perhaps, I know God loves others, but. What are some other buts that we might find in relationship to God? Shout them out. Give me a but. Yes.
I would get more involved.
But. Okay. Others?
I know that the power of our, all of the gifts of the Spirit are available to me, but.
Mm-hmm. Others?
No, I'm forgiven, but.
Okay. Others? Okay.
I would like to go to heaven, but.
You'd like to go to heaven, but? But not yet. Ah. Well, the thing is that one thing that I've learned is that but negates everything that came before it. So if someone says, I know God loves me, but, what they're really saying is, I'm not sure God loves me. Are you with me? So let's examine some buts. But before we get to but, let's go to therefore. Anytime the scripture starts with therefore, we have to go back and see what is therefore, right? So our scripture today starts with the word therefore. What was the sermon last week? Mm-hmm. Anyone else? The sermon last week. Joy, you know. No, I was just kidding. She weren't here. What is the therefore that today's scripture reading starts with? I'll take a moment to, while you're thinking, to advertise for the website and also for the sermons that are posted on the website. Thank you, Sir John, for that. We actually got an email this week from someone who lives miles and miles away, and at this point in time, I know she has a house in Oklahoma, but last I knew they were living in Kuala Lumpur. And she wrote an email to us to share that she had listened to the Ephesians sermon from last week and was greatly impacted by it. So if you do miss a Sunday, feel free to go to the website and pick up the sermon there. Last week's sermon essentially was the fact that it was a but. Paul has a but in the first part of the chapter 2 of Ephesians. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So keeping all of that in mind, We start today. Now, as I mentioned, if you go back to the first part of chapter 2, Paul has a but. And we're going to get to another but that he has for us in the second part of chapter 2. But we need to keep in mind. So he wants to remind us that we are forgiven because of the redeeming work on the cross, not anything we can or have done. Right? And remembering that, he wants to remind us of something else. Therefore, you were Gentiles. You were not a part of the chosen people. You were outside of God's family. So, saved by grace, but keep in mind the history, where you've come from, and all that that means. Now, in today's society, and in many places in the world increasingly so, there is a division between certain groups of people. Anyone who watches news for most any country in the world today, I think, will see this. At the time of the writing, there was a division between the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Jews were told not to have anything to do with the Gentiles. So there was a great distance between them. Also, the Gentiles were not heirs to any of the promises that God gave the Jews. But what God did on the cross is bring us into his family. We are now adopted into God's family, which makes us full heirs. The five challenges that the Gentiles faced was that they were separated from Christ. They were excluded from citizenship. A lot of us here should know what that feels like, living in a different country and not having necessarily the benefits of the citizens. They were also without hope. They were without God in the world. They were not heirs to the promises of God. As an American, there is a current wave in America to separate some people from other people. We see this also in Norway. There's a current little squabble between a couple of the political parties about some words that were said on Friday. But the idea being that some people want to exclude people in a certain way, treat them in a certain way. Many of you sitting here come from countries where this is a much greater reality than for me. Indonesia, for example, has a majority of Muslims, and the Christians are in the minority. So you might experience that in a completely different way than what I would as an American. There's this division that wants to be created. We must keep in mind that Christ has said he's creating a new humanity, that he has brought us all into his family. Anyone who wants to be adopted into his family can be adopted into Christ's family. I already covered those. So we were lost, but now we're found. I talked about the but that Paul has for us in this second part. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. All of these buts here can be forgotten because the only but that matters now is but now in Christ Jesus. If you have accepted being adopted into his family, this is what matters in your life now. You have been made alive in Christ. Whatever our condition before, the truth remains that God has accepted us. If we've given our hearts, our lives to him, we are now part of his family. Now, also, Paul talks about Christ Jesus. And we need to look at the difference between Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ. And yes, they're the same, but the meaning is different. Because in the Bible, when they write Christ Jesus, what they're wanting us to focus on is Christ, who is this heavenly being, came to earth, Jesus. So it's the Christ humbling himself, the sacrifice that Christ made to make you a part of his family. Whereas when we look at Jesus Christ, we're looking at the resurrected Christ. We're looking at going from heaven to earth. So whenever you read that in the Bible, you should understand the power that's behind that. It's talking about Christ gave up everything in heaven to come to earth so that you could come to heaven with him. Isn't that an incredible gift? I mean, imagine a millionaire chooses to adopt you into his family as the single heir. I mean, all of the promises that Christ, that God has given the Jews, we are now heirs to. There are 5,647 promises in the Bible. Do you know them? There are many wonderful promises for us in God's Word. The greatest thing is that we were lost, but now we're found, and indeed we truly are heaven bound. This is something that we need to keep in mind when we're going through hardships, when we're going through struggles. Life will be difficult. But repeatedly, Paul has this pattern here in Ephesians where he says, this is how it was, but now in Christ. This is how it was, but now in Christ. Some of you who know a bit about my family know that because of some health issues in our family, we went through a challenging time a few years ago. Our daughter was struggling, and this was a great burden to my wife and I. After we came through that really challenging patch, we took a time to sit down and thank God, but as part of our thanks, we went back and we talked about how horrible it was. We already been delivered on this side, but in order that our thanks didn't become superficial, we wanted to remind ourselves this is where we were. In our growth group on Wednesday night, I asked, I think I mentioned, that when I went back and visited my elementary school, I was really confused because they had lowered all the water fountains, and I don't know why they did that. And yeah, I see that it's going a little bit slow here today too, which not, there we go. I said, they didn't lower the water fountains, I grew. Sometimes in order to see our growth, we have to go back to where we were to see the comparison. And this is what Paul is telling us to do. At the end of the first part of chapter 2, he talks about the fact that we're made alive in Christ. And then he says, therefore, remember, you were once lost. It's not to beat us up, but it's to help us to understand how incredible that gift is. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings, for which are your glory. Do you know what your inheritance is? I have a long list. I don't have all 5,647 promises, but I do have a long list of the promises that I can certainly send anyone who would like to go and review those. I know that this is something that Denise talks a lot about, knowing the promises of God, the things that he has promised us, that we can claim if we will. Again, at Growth Group, we were talking this week about the promises, and it's kind of like a lottery ticket, I think. You know, you've got it, it's a winner, but are you going to redeem it? Are you going to claim those promises, or are you going to leave it unclaimed? Choice is yours. So what is the point of it all? Paul is writing this at the time when he was in prison. Why was he in prison? He was in prison because he was telling the Gentiles that they were heirs to the kingdom. The Jews didn't like this, and so they had him imprisoned. Now, Paul has this great advantage because he's both Jew and Gentile, or he was Jew and Roman citizen, right? He had studied the scriptures. He knew them. And he saw how what Christ did was fulfillment of the scriptures and also opened up the door for the Gentiles to come in. So, in probably a double-edged sworded act, when Paul was arrested, he challenged that arrest, knowing his scripture and that he was right, and he asked for an appeal. And in order to have an appeal, he had to go before Caesar. So in order to go before Caesar, he had to go to Rome. Perhaps he looked at this as an opportunity to witness to Caesar. And if we think a couple hundred years later about the Roman Empire, we see that what the Christians did, may not directly Paul, but Paul and the Christians that came after him, did make an impact on the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire that was secular became a new empire that was Christian. So while he's suffering, he's telling us about this wonderful gift that we've got. He's kind of got things in perspective. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I know God loves me, but again, if someone says but, they're negating everything that came before that. Listen to what people say and speak into it, because the thing is, not only are we lost and now found and heaven bound, but I believe that we have an obligation to reach out to as many people as we can to bring them to heaven with us. You see, I haven't understood God's grace and his mercy if I want to go alone to heaven. When I understand all that he's done for me, my natural response will be to shout it out to everyone. Or as we sang earlier, go tell it on the mountain. We are lost, we are found, we are heaven-bound. Who do you want to take with you? Because you see, if we make choices and say, I don't think I'm going to witness to that person, then perhaps what we're saying is, I know God loves everybody, but and when we say that, we're saying we don't really understand all that he's done for us. We don't understand that we were in that position, but now in Christ. In this prayer, Paul prays for four things. He prays that they will be strengthened. He prays that they will be rooted and established in love, that they'll know Christ's love in all its dimensions, and that they will be filled up with the fullness of God. Paul is encouraging us here to look at the bigger picture. again. We were lost, but now we're found. And we are heaven bound. And we cannot stop there. We need to live this new way, this new humanity. There is no separation in Christ. This is our family. And as we love one another, as we share with one another, as we support one another, we're living this new humanity. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask the musicians to come forward. We're going to go ahead and sing, and what I'd like to do is